I'm guessing that nearly every one of us at one time or another has had the experience of being excluded. Maybe it was a team that you wanted to be on in school, or a college that you wanted to attend. Maybe a particular job that you wanted, or perhaps a social group that you wanted to be included in. And some of us have had that experience multiple times. It's not a fun experience. In fact, it can be emotionally crushing. Good friends of ours have had their daughter exclude them from their lives. She's cut off all communication. It's a horrible situation for folks that we have always considered to be really good, caring parents. In fact, they're the godparents of our children. The brokenness of this and other relationships is a never-ending pain. Unfortunately, in this perfect world, all of us will at some time or another feel left out. Sometimes it's by deliberate cruelty. You know, children can be very loving, but they can also be incredibly nasty to one another. And regrettably, it doesn't get much better as we get older. It has become commonplace for politicians these days to call names for their opponents and belittle others. It's a terrible example by people who are supposed to be our leaders, you know? They are folks who are supposed to be setting a good example. And then there are those times when we unintentionally hurt one another. We say something that would have been better left unsaid. Or maybe we simply fail to speak when we should have spoken up. It happens everywhere, even in the church. We are imperfect, flawed human beings. But the gospel comes to us today as a strong antidote to our inherent imperfection. God in Christ challenges us to think differently. In today's first lesson from the book of Acts, the disciples were gathered with a bunch of Gentiles. They were supposedly unbelievers and considered unclean by Jewish standards. They would normally have been excluded. But as Peter was preaching, his followers were astounded that those Gentile folks were not only listening, but showing evidence of the Holy Spirit coming to them as well. Peter, seeing this, acknowledged that they should be baptized. They should be included because God has already included those that humans would have excluded. In today's gospel, Jesus also invites everyone to be included. Now, to be clear, we can always exclude ourselves. We are not being controlled or manipulated, but we are being invited. Invited in to love one another, even the normally excluded or unlovable. And Jesus gives us the commandments, knowing that loving one another is a difficult thing. We're also given some rules to follow, some commandments. These aren't punishments, but a gift, again, an antidote to our tendencies to tend to be mean or thoughtless people. Jesus invites us into a new relationship with our God and with one another. I'll tell you, years ago, one of my seminary classmates was telling us around coffee that he wasn't sure he could be a pastor. He had been a big man on campus during college. He was the president of his fraternity. He was in a very exclusive group of the in people, the beautiful people. And now we were talking about loving and including everyone. And quite honestly, we even had some pretty geeky classmates in seminary. Jesus calls us to love everyone. Easy to do with our friends, and usually even with our family, although that sometimes gets a little borderline. But this love your enemies thing pushes the envelope. How do you love someone who has hurt you deeply? Can there be exceptions? What about the criminal, the pervert, the one who has done horrible or heinous things? What about the rapist or the mass murderer? Well, there is a popular saying, love the sin, or love the sinner, hate the sin. And that's so familiar to us, it's sometimes as familiar as the 23rd Psalm. The problem is Jesus did not say it. The Apostle Paul did not write it. Moses did not carve it into tablets, and King David did not sing it with his lyre. Bert Montgomery, a Baptist pastor from Mississippi, writes, "The trouble with love the sinner but hate the sin is that the second part always gets in the way of the first part. The second part grants us license to judge others, to hold something against them." When I say it, I'm saying something about you that blocks my ability to love you as God loves you. Something about you marks you as less than, not as deserving as, not as good enough for my unconditional love. I will love you, but only so far. Only with certain conditions, and there are limits. I am unable to see beyond what I consider to be your faults, and I am unwilling to see you as anything more than what I don't like about you. And in fact, in doing so, we become the one who judges. And we know what kinds of problems that creates. When Jesus says, love one another, there are no conditions, no exceptions. And while it's a huge mountain for us to climb to emulate and follow what Jesus asks us, nonetheless, that is what we're asked to do. Love God and love one another. If we want to follow those commands, we'd better be in church every week, because we need all the help we can get. Amen.